Good evening. It's good to be with everyone here again. I very much appreciate your support and your encouragement and your prayers that you have offered in the work that is going on in South America. Deer Park is my home. I grew up there, went to San Jacinto Elementary, Deer Park Junior High, the North Campus, the old campus of the high school. Graduated in 1974 with Victor and Heidi and several of you. And so I've known a lot of you for many, many years. And this church has been a great influence to me and to my family. And since I've been going to South America, you've been very instrumental in helping me in that work. You began that help back in 2004 during those first few trips that I made to Peru. And you've continued to help whenever there's been a need. Yeah, I can well relate to Paul's words when he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, "Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." And so when the brethren from Argentina asked me if I could come and study again with the churches there, you helped me back in 2015 to go to Argentina. I asked your elders if the church here could help, and as always, they generously responded to help the Lord's work there in South America. And so what we're going to do this evening is actually referred to in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Where talking about Paul and Barnabas and their missionary journeys, and in verses 21 down to around verse 26, it talks about all the different places that they went back, and they were exhorting the brethren to continue in the faith and to be faithful to Christ and to the kingdom. And when they finally came back to Antioch, from whence they had gone on that trip, in verse 27, Acts chapter 14, verse 27, we read, "Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." And that's what I'm going to be trying to do this evening, is help you to see what God has done in South America. And in Acts chapter 15, verse 3, we read, "So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. When they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them." And again, to me, it is a source of great encouragement when I hear of what's going on in other parts of the world and the success of the gospel in other places. It's encouraging to hear that. It's encouraging for me to tell others about that as well. Then finally, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, it says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" And so really, this was a return trip to Argentina to see how the brethren are doing and try to encourage them as best we could in that effort. Now, Argentina is located in the southeast part of South America, has a population of about 44 million. About 14 million live in Buenos Aires. The majority of the population, they're descendants of European immigrants in the 19th and 20th centuries. And today, really, you don't find a lot of indigenous or native groups there in Argentina. Now, some of you have asked me, as I've been going down to South America, if I am fluent in Spanish. And the answer to that is no. I am not fluent in Spanish. I can converse in Spanish. Jose and I carried on a nice conversation this morning. I try to practice every chance I get. I preach in Spanish, but I only preach with notes that have been carefully prepared from a script. And it is a script that Brother Roberto Spencer in Lubbock helps me to prepare with his Spanish from Mexico. But then I take his Spanish, send it to Peru to Brother Carlos Perez, who you guys help in his work there in Peru. He then changes it to more Peruvian and Argentinian Spanish, which not a lot of changes, just a few minor ones. But even with a script, I don't always get it right. But the brethren there are very understanding, except for the young groom that asked me to do his wedding. And we were saying the vows during his wedding. And I was asking him to repeat after me. And all this is in Spanish. And I told him to repeat after me. And the phrase was supposed to have been, hasta la muerte nos separe, until death separates us. Well, I said, hasta la muerta nos separe, which means until the dead woman separates us. So they're very understanding about those kinds of mistakes and very good to tell me when I have said something that I did not intend to say. But prior to this trip, I try to talk with the men there in Argentina and Peru to determine what I can bring to help them with the churches. We take Spanish hymnals, communion cups, trays if needed. We purchase Bibles there because the Bibles are fairly inexpensive in South America. And so this is material that I had ordered back in the spring before my trip to Peru, and then would be also distributing some of this material in Argentina. And my wife is very understanding before each trip, as our dining room table actually becomes my work table to try to organize all of these materials. But this is how I arrive in both Argentina and Peru. I fly American Airlines. They allow me to take 5 checked bags. And so I buy these plastic trunks at Walmart. I leave them then with the brethren there. Come home with my suitcase, and it's about half empty. But the only challenge, really, is trying to balance these carts on these little carrier things they have, because the brethren cannot come into the baggage claim area. That's a secure area. So I have to try to get those out on my own, but they're always there waiting for me just outside of that area. So when I arrived in Argentina, got all the luggage outside, Brother Luis Morales, and you'll see his picture some throughout this presentation. I introduced him to you the last report I had. He's from Peru, but now lives in Buenos Aires. He met me there. We traveled to our hotel, the Hotel San Diego, and can you tell which is our hotel? This is our hotel. This is the entrance. The hotel's actually above the first floor. I don't stay in fancy hotels. If they have clean sheets, hot water, no bed bugs, I'm happy. And there's just so many needs with brethren that I just cannot justify spending a lot of money on hotels while we're there. But we were staying in the Bologna area of Buenos Aires, which is what is that during the first of the trip. Luis and I, we were able to work with 5 churches in and around Buenos Aires. We met with brethren in Pilar, in Derqui, in Bologna, in Rio Alegre, and in Merlo. And the first church, of course, we visited was Bologna. We worshiped with them that first Wednesday night that we were there, stayed with them for 2 more days, because one of the reasons I'd gone to Argentina is to study with the preachers there. Met with several of the preachers. I had done the same in Peru earlier that year, studied a detailed study on fellowship with them. And so Luis went back to Argentina telling them about our series of studies, and they said, can he come and present that material here? So went there with that intent, and not only though teach the preachers, to have opportunity to speak at the churches. So I met with Brother Marcelo Ayosa, who's from Bologna, Jorge Troja from Derqui, and Luis helped out as well in these studies. And we studied the concepts of fellowship for a couple of days after we had met with the church there that Wednesday night. This is Wednesday night there in Bologna. The brethren actually were trying to learn new songs because they were going to host an area-wide singing the next Saturday. So we were practicing songs during that time and trying to learn some new songs. And then for the next couple of days, met with Brother Jorge Troja and Brother Marcelo. And I apologize for not having pictures for all of these. When I'm in South America and I come to a service or I'm getting involved in a study, that's what I'm focusing on. I'm really not focusing on taking pictures of the event. So it's good when I go with a group, because amongst the group you can always get a lot of photos. So I don't have pictures of us studying together with Marcelo and Jorge and Luis, but we studied for a couple of days. And then after we had spent time there in Bologna, we traveled to Pilar. That's actually where Luis lives. And he preaches with a couple of other men for the church there in Pilar. And so on Sunday, we met with them. This is Brother Juan Carlos Costa. He led the singing that Sunday morning. Now, he's looking at his hymnal very closely. Or he gave notes that he led singing on Wednesday. He was reading his announcements there. And he's almost practically blind, but does a good job with teaching, does a good job with leading singing. And so he's one of the original members there at the church in Pilar. And he and his wife, Esther, they've been significant in helping the work there. Then this is Brother Gabriel Morias. He's another member there in Pilar. He was doing the scripture reading. Luis Morales is the young man from Peru that now lives there. He led the singing. And then I preached on the subject of forgiveness. Had a couple of lessons about forgiveness this time. Forgiveness that is from God, and then forgiveness that God expects for us to extend to one another. And so the church there meets on Sunday morning from 10 to 12. They meet again for a midweek service. During the adult study, during the Bible class, there's about 4 to 6 children they have. They meet in a home that's just behind the church building. One of the brothers and his family lives just behind the church building. And this is the church there in Pilar. They've got about 20 to 25 members, and the church was started about 20 years ago. And then this is the home that's located right behind the church building. Brother Sergio, I can't recall his name for a moment. Piccola, there it is. Sergio Piccola lives in this home. He's also a member there in Pilar. And so the children meet in his home. And I think his wife Anna teaches the children in their class. Well, then the next day, Luis and I were going to another one of the churches in Rio Alegre. So we took a bus. You got to take 3 different buses to get there. So it takes about 2 hours to travel from Pilar to Rio Alegre. And this is a trip that Luis makes every Sunday. He's preaching in the afternoons at the church in Rio Alegre. And then he goes every other Saturday to encourage them as they try to canvass the area and pass out brochures and flyers to try to get the church going there in Rio Alegre. In fact, that's what they were going to do. I had some new materials for them, so they were excited to look at some of these new materials, and we got one of the new brochures and got those folded, and then spent part of the day in passing out these flyers, these brochures, among their vecinos, among their people that live close to them. Then afterwards, we visited a little bit in their home. This is the brethren there. There's Pablo and Maria Esther is their name. And Alvarica, Pablo and Esther Alvarica. And this is their youngest daughter, who's 17, and then 2 of their granddaughters. They have several children. 2 of the daughters have obeyed the gospel so far. And then this is Maria Esther visiting with Luis outside their home later that afternoon. This is where they live. They live a little ways out, so it's a little bit of land that they own, a couple of horses that they own as well. And Pablo and his wife Maria, they've lived in this house for the last 35 years. So then they started to build a church building several years ago. And the church there consists right now just of that one family, but got kind of discouraged. Things weren't going well, and so it just kind of stood there with no roof, just walls. When Luis started preaching there about a year ago, he's trying to get them encouraged and motivated again, and so they decided to put a roof over the building and to begin to meet in the building, and they have plans to try to put a roof over the other half of the building now so that they can maybe conduct some classes in that half of the church building as well. But they've done that on their own. This one family has done this basically on their own with no outside help. And so we met that afternoon for a study with them. You can't see Pablo. He's kind of hiding behind Maria. But they were there. And then three of their daughters were at that study. So Luis, he led the singing in that study. And then I presented a lesson on forgiving one another, one of my lessons I had taken with me. I also was able to take them a set of communion trays to use during their Sunday worship, as well as the study materials and brochures that they could share with others. So that was our work there in Rio Alegre for that day. Had plans to go back the following Saturday to work with them. Then we met on Tuesday, met with the brethren in Merlo. Luis and I, along with Jorge Troja, who's the preacher in Derque, and his wife, we traveled to Merlo to meet with the church there. Took about a 45-minute bus ride to this train station. And then we traveled about 20 minutes by train and then arrived in the Merlo region. Then we walked about another 20 minutes to get to the house of Juan Carlos Castaño. So it takes a while to get from Pilar to Merlo. And this just kind of gives you an idea of the area where they live. And this is the Castaño family. Now, Juan Carlos and his wife, Pamela, they have two boys, Fernando, who's 26, Brian, who is 22. All four of them have obeyed the gospel. And Luis was telling me that the sons would really like to get in touch with some other Christian young people because they basically are just by themselves there in Merlo. So if anyone can converse in Spanish, they have emails, and I can share those with you, and maybe you can converse with them and encourage them as well. You can also see Brother Jorge Troja, and then Luis, and Jorge's wife, Ana, or Martha, is there as well. And so this family, they obeyed the gospel quite a few years ago by a brother that lives west of Buenos Aires, David Rodriguez. You'll see him here in just a little bit. But he had come to Buenos Aires, studied with this family. They obeyed the gospel. He had to return back to where he lives, which is about a 10.5-hour bus ride. So Jorge Troja basically took over that responsibility of building them up, helping to study with them. They assemble every Lord's Day and study together. And so it's just a family that needs to now reach out to others and help the church grow there in Merlo. And then on Wednesday of that same week, we met again with the church in Pilar and spent some of the afternoon visiting with the brother that lives behind the church. Really can't see it all that clearly, but that's Brother Sergio. And so we visited with him that afternoon and then met with the church that night. Brother Jorge was also there because they have a midweek service on Thursday. So he came over to encourage the brethren on that Wednesday night study. And then after the study, the Argentinians have a custom that they drink a drink called mate. It's a way of extending hospitality, sharing with one another, because they all share the same cup and the same metal straw. I've taken a lot of pathogenic biology courses, and fortunately, they asked me to share first. So I was able to share first. Best way I can describe it is tea made with spinach. But they love it. And I pretended like I loved it as well. And then the next day, Luis and I, we traveled to the city of Derqui, about 30 minutes in a bus. Met Jorge there, visited with several members. And in the afternoon, visited with this widow lady that's been a member there at Derqui for about 20 years. She served some tea, was very happy that we were able to spend some time with her. And then this is where the church in Derqui meets. Jorge led the singing for their Thursday midweek service, and we had a fairly good crowd that night. Church in Derqui was started about 20 years ago. They have about 25 to 30 members. And about 70% of the members are related to one another in some way. Very common in Argentina and in Peru as well. And so we were only going to meet with them that one night. So they asked me if I could deliver both lessons that night. So they got a doubleheader that night. I delivered both lessons on forgiveness and then visited with the brethren for a little while after the services. One of the sisters then invited everyone to come over to her house at about 10 o'clock so we could all eat supper together. The Argentinians have a different kind of culture. They are up late, they eat late, and so you have to kind of get used to that if you're visiting one of the Latin countries. But we sat around the table, visited till about midnight, and then around midnight, everybody decided it was about time to head on home. But I really enjoyed getting to know the brethren there. Next day, we went to visit Jorge's son, whose name is Lucas. So we went to visit him, and he wanted to introduce us to their baby. Milo is his name, and so he's very proud of Milo. And this is the home where they live. Lucas has been kind of building this home for about the last 5 years. And I learned that the economy in Argentina is really challenging right now. When I went 3 years ago, an Argentinian peso, for each dollar, you would get about 13 to 14 pesos. Then in August of this year, that skyrocketed to $1 could get you 51 pesos. Now it's gone back down a little bit, and I got an exchange rate of about 38, 39, 40 pesos to the dollar. So they're really struggling. And Lucas was explaining to me, because they don't take out mortgages there. The mortgage rate right now in Argentina is 60%, 60%. So you don't borrow money in Argentina. You'd never be able to pay it back. But he's working at it a little bit at a time and getting the home like they want it. This is he and his wife, Lucia. They're preparing us a little snack, which is usually tea and some kind of Argentinian sweet bread. And then that afternoon, we visited with another family from that area. This is the home of Gabriel and Lydia Murias. And Luis is standing next to their two daughters, Emma and Malena. Gabriel wanted to fix lunch for us, so he had some asado and chorizo on the grill. They think they have the best meat in the world. I mean, Argentinians think they have the best of everything and the biggest of everything in the world. They sound like Texans. But he wanted to serve me the best chorizo and asado that I have ever eaten. He hasn't been to Texas. But then on Saturday, we had plans to return to Rio Alegre, but there was a one-day public transportation strike that Saturday, so we couldn't take the buses to Rio Alegre. And Luis was telling me this is not uncommon. There's always some kind of public strike going on in Argentina. But the couple we had eaten the asado with the day before, they owned their own truck, and they were going to the area-wide singing in Bologna. So they invited us, since we couldn't go to Rio Alegre, if we wanted to go to the singing there in Bologna. So we took them up on their invitation, traveled to the singing there, and this is the group that showed up for the singing. Now, Marcelo Ayosa was telling me they usually pack the house with their area-wide singings, but the public transportation strike had prevented most of the brethren from being able to travel, because most of them do not own their own car. Most of them rely on public transportation to get around. So I thought it was a fairly good showing, but he said usually everybody comes to these and they don't have enough room for everyone. But we had a good time practicing songs and singing together that Saturday afternoon. Well, the next morning was Sunday morning. Since Gabriel was worshiping in Pilar, Luis and I couldn't take his truck back to Bologna. We had to use public transportation. And fortunately, the strike did only last one day. So to get from Pilar to Bologna, we first had to go in a bus to the outskirts of Buenos Aires. There, on the outskirts of Buenos Aires, we got on the subway. And I was commenting to Luis, man, it is crowded. And he looked around and said, this is crowded? No. He said, weekdays are crowded. This is normal. So we took the subway, then close to the main rail station there in Buenos Aires. And then we hopped on a train, which took us over to Bologna. And so that's how, if you rely on public transportation, that's how you get from one place to another. So it took us probably about 2.5 hours to make all of those transfers, but made it over there. And Marcelo was then waiting at the train station to pick us up and take us to worship with them in Bologna. And your brethren, you really should be able to see a little bit better. Those two men aren't kissing on the lips, but they do greet one another with a holy kiss. It's actually two kisses, and everybody does this. You greet the men, the brothers, you greet the sisters with a kiss on each cheek. And that's just, everybody does that. And so that takes a little getting used to if you're from here. And then I have to remind myself, because when I get back to Texas, right at first I find myself starting to lean forward and then go, no. We're back in Texas and we don't greet one another with a holy kiss. Especially men are not going to greet one another with a holy kiss. So the brethren are getting to know one another. Marcelo, he's 42 years old. His wife's name is Nadia. They have two children, Mateo and Lydia. And his father, also Marcos Ayosa, he was the one that started the church about 25 years ago and donated the property and the building where the church is now meeting. Marcelo has, I believe, 7 other brothers and sisters, and 5 of them are members of the church there in Bologna. So they're about 80 to 90% of the church consists of family members. And this is really, he's then introducing things and leading singing that morning. This is the only picture I have of me preaching while I'm there. A sister took this with her phone and then sent me that picture. So this, the brethren help me. I'm preaching in Spanish, but it gives me a little bit of a break if they will read the verses for me. So I'm delivering the lesson, and then when we get to a verse of scripture to read, Luis will read the scripture for me, and that gives me a chance to kind of catch up and regather my thoughts before it's time to get going on the next series of Spanish sentences and phrases. And then these are the brethren visiting with one another after services. And then Marcela then took us to the airport where we were going to fly to Villa Mercedes that Sunday night. And so we got on a plane that Sunday night, flew west about 400 miles to Villa, or actually San Luis, which is close to Villa Mercedes. And then Brother David Rodriguez and his wife Rosa met us at the airport. It was about 10:30 when we got in to San Luis. They wanted to take us to eat because it was time for supper. So we got to this restaurant about 10:45. Now, we were at this table. There was one guy over here in the corner, and all the other tables were empty. I thought they were getting ready to close. They were just getting started. We left close to midnight. Every table in the restaurant was full. Every table on the sidewalk outside the restaurant was full. And this is a Sunday night, and it's not a holiday the next day, and the kids need to go to school, but that's the way they do things in Argentina. And so just a little bit of difference in culture there. And you may think, well, how do they stay up so late? Well, I also learned, because I wanted to go to the store in the afternoon about 3:30, all the stores were closed. And I asked Luis, what's going on? And he said, oh, here, they all go to lunch at 2 o'clock, and they'll take a siesta, and then they'll open back up the stores about 5. And then the stores will stay open from about 5 to 10. So actually, eating supper at 10:30 or 11 is like you and me eating supper at 6 o'clock, about an hour after you've gotten off work. And so that's just, again, it's a difference in the culture there. This is the hotel where we stayed while we were there in Bija Mercedes. And this is the church there in Bija Mercedes. Now, they actually took this picture on a Sunday. We were there teaching on a Monday and a Tuesday night. But we still had good crowds for those studies. This is David Rodriguez. I can't see him really well, but this is he and his family. He has five children. And one of them's married, and she lives by himself. His other children, older children, range from 26 to 20, and they all still live at home. David just couldn't believe it, because he was kind of making a joke, is how do you get your kids to move out? And I said, well, my boys were married at 22 and on their own. He just couldn't hardly believe that, because families stick together much longer in that culture, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. So Luis and I, then we spent the next couple of days studying with David during the day on the subject of fellowship, and then meeting with the church in the evening. So that first evening we were together, David's son Franco led the singing and had a good crowd there that night. The gentleman, if you can see him that's standing up, he actually made about a four-hour drive from a congregation that's in the Mendoza city. He and his wife had driven over to meet with us for those two evenings as well. And so they had really good crowds both nights. David, he led the singing on the second night and had another good crowd on that second night. And so visited with the brethren afterwards. These two ladies were friends of David's wife, of Rosas. And David told me that on Friday of that week, they came both nights. Listen carefully both nights. On Friday of that week, the lady on the left obeyed the gospel. So they were very encouraged and uplifted and excited about that. And this is me with David and Rosa after services that second night. Then the brethren visited a little bit. And then it was time for us to head to the bus station, because we took the bus actually back to Buenos Aires that night. This is Brother Javier and his wife Karina. They're one of the few brethren that own a car there in Bija Mercedes. So they were saying goodbye from their car, and then we had to go to the bus station to head back to Buenos Aires. Then the last two days of this trip, we worked with the church again in Pilar and in Derqui, studied with the brethren again Pilar on Wednesday night. Luis led singing. I preached a lesson on David y Goliath. So that's David and Goliath. And then the next day, we took a taxi. This office was right next to my hotel. And this was the taxi office in the stairwell next to my hotel. And they can get a taxi for you from anywhere. They go anywhere. So we called up a taxi. And he took us to Derqui, where we had a lunch invitation with Hugo and Magali Cordova. This is the neighborhood that they live in. And these are their grandkids that were outside the house when we got there. And then this is Hugo and his wife, Magali. And Magali is actually Jorge Troja's sister. So more relations that are there. They were fixing an Italian meal for us. So while Hugo was back in the kitchen minding the food, Magali wanted to show us what she did. Now, the economy in Argentina is very, very depressed right now because of the devaluation of the peso. So almost all the brethren have second and third jobs just to try to make ends meet right now. So she works in an office during the day, and then in the evenings and on the weekends, she makes, these are actually little floaty mats for babies, because there's no such thing as a baby bathtub there. There's just the large bathtubs. So she makes these little mats that you can place the baby on. You can float in the bathtub while you're giving the baby his bath. And so she sells this to a retailer. And she makes 400 of these a month to try to help supplement her income. And then Hugo, the husband, he travels to Chile to buy clothes that are a lot cheaper in Chile. And then brings them back to try to sell them as well. And all the brethren do these kinds of things to just try to supplement their income right then. And that was the last day that I was in Argentina. And so after we had had the meal with Hugo and Magali, then Luis, we went back, got my luggage, went back to the airport, And as I was going into the secure area, I hear Luis call my name, and he snapped this picture. And that's always kind of a bittersweet time for me when I'm leaving these countries. It's hard to say goodbye after you have been working with them for so long. But before closing out this report, I want to tell you very briefly about my trip earlier this year to Peru, because you guys support Carlos Perez, and he lives and preaches there in Lima. He's become an invaluable co-worker with me there in Peru. He has been instrumental in establishing churches in Trujillo, Chiclayo. He's joined in teaching and strengthening of other congregations that we've helped establish there in Paita, Piura, Catacao, Sullana, Santa Cruz, Samba, Talara, and Tumbes. And now we're working with about 20 churches in all of the areas of Peru. Again, you guys have been very instrumental in helping that growth. Your support has allowed us to take quite literally tons of Spanish study materials, books, hymnals, Bibles. I take at least 250 pounds of materials each trip. And it's really a lot cheaper to take them on the plane and to pay the excess baggage than to take them or mail them by postal service. A lot more expensive to do it that way, a lot less secure as well. So you've helped on a lot of different occasions with not only these material needs for the brethren, but you've helped with benevolent needs with widows and other brethren. And when the floods hit Peru, a lot of the brethren chipped in and helped to alleviate that. You've helped some of the brethren put up buildings in different areas. So you guys have been very instrumental. But most importantly, you've helped with the preaching of the gospel, with people who are hungry for the word. Now after arriving in Lima on Saturday, Carlos Perez met me there, and Luis, this is back in May of this year, Luis had taken 2 weeks of vacation there in Argentina to come to Peru and work with us there in Peru. So we immediately flew to the north part of Peru, and the next morning we worshiped with the brethren in Catacaos. This is a fairly recent congregation that we've begun to work with. They've broken away from American control of institutionally minded churches and are striving to be just a New Testament church. Of course, Henry lost everything in doing that, but was willing to take a stand for the truth and do the right thing. And that's really been my message to a lot of churches in different countries, is tell churches in other countries to mind their own business. Especially American churches are notorious for wanting to control other churches. I tell them, you guys answer only to Christ. You do not answer to anybody back in the United States. So you can do your work under the headship of Jesus Christ. And I think they really appreciate understanding that we can be our own church, and we don't have to rely on control from some outside organization to be what God wants us to be. So this is the congregation in Catacaos. That morning, Henry's brother-in-law, Jesus Davila, he led the singing. Carlos Perez, he preached that morning. I taught the class. And we had about 35 there that morning. Met some new brothers in Christ. This is Manuel Prado. He was baptized about 3 months prior to the trip that we had taken there in May. So he's recently moved from Venezuela. In fact, there are a lot of people that are moving from Venezuela to Peru just because of the economic conditions and differences between the two countries. This is Jesus with his wife Kelly and their two daughters. Also another young man we met, Jairo Fernandez. He's a 16-year-old Christian. He comes alone, his family, not Christians, but he wants to learn how to preach. And so he actually joined us in our preacher training sessions that we were having. So Jairo Fernandez, remember him in your prayers. This is some of the group that met together that Sunday morning. And I'd kind of taken Henry off to the side and said, Henry, we need to grab a bite before we head on after services. I said, would you and your family like to come eat with us? I was thinking Henry and his wife and his three daughters. Well, Henry and his family joined us. Because like a lot of churches, virtually every member is a part of Henry's family. But that was fine. And we had a good meal together. And I'll be more careful when I make invitations in the future. But before we left to go to Paita, because that's where we would meet that night, we had time to go make copies for the preacher study that we would be conducting the next day in Paita. This is the nice lady that was making copies for us. And while she was doing that, I wanted to walk about 3 blocks to the square and cathedral, because there's a young man there that sells candy there. I've known him, known of him for years. But for many years, that was the cripple guy that sells the gum and the candy on the sidewalk across from the cathedral. And that's all he was. He was the cripple guy. Well, I had preached a lesson several times back about the blind man and how sometimes we categorize people. And I said in that lesson, you know, to some people that was just the blind guy. And then it just hit me. That's what I'm doing with this guy. That's the cripple guy. So I decided I'm going to sit down and I'm going to meet him and I'm going to talk with him. And I did. His name, excuse me, his name is Hernan Prieto. And he's been crippled since birth. Gets on a bus every morning. It's about a 45-minute ride for him to come into Piura on the square where there's a lot of people, because he lives out in the rural part. And he sells gum and candy there. Has a wonderful attitude. And believes in God, loves God. We've had an opportunity now to study with him on several occasions. He lives with his parents because of his disability. He walks around on his hands because his legs are useless. But got a good heart and has been willing to study with us. And now he's not just the crippled guy. He's Hernan. And be praying for him. I hope he obeys the gospel one of these days. And then we went back, picked up our copies, and then that evening we met with the church in Paita. This is where David Guerrero is the preacher there in Paita. And I met another new sister in Christ. This is Sister Rosa. She is 102 years old. She obeyed the gospel last year. She obeyed the gospel at 101 years old. She is there every time the doors are open. So don't complain about your old age problems and thinking that you can't make it. If Sister Rosa at 102 can get in a motor taxi and take the bumpy ride to services and sit there Sunday morning for 3 hours, and again Sunday night for 2 hours, and again Wednesday night for 1 hour, well, I think we just need to think about her the next time we are thinking we're not up to meeting with the brethren. Sister Rosa was quite an encouragement to me. And then that evening, we met with the preachers for our first study session in David's home. Time well spent trying to do what Paul instructed Timothy to do, because there's so many churches now in Peru that it's just hard to get around to all of them. So we try to do what Paul told Timothy to do. The things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so in the north, we were able to meet with 16 men who preach in the northern part of Peru. And so we began with our sessions on Sunday night. This is the next morning of our session. We actually met in the home of David Guerrero. He has a big table, enough room for all of us to gather around there. Carlos Perez, he taught the subjects of hermeneutics, how to interpret scripture, taught homiletics, how to prepare and present a sermon. He also talked about context, word meaning, figurative language, how to use various reference books and tools. I taught my series on fellowship, which most of them had never studied or thought much about. Gave them a 30-page outline of our study that was translated into Spanish. And we had a lot of question and answer sessions concerning fellowship that I think was really valuable in this study. And then Luis, he taught some very practical lessons of the work and life of a preacher. How to effectively use your time, difficulties and challenges that are unique to preaching, attitudes we should and should not have, common dangers that preachers need to be aware of. And so it's an extremely good study, very taxing We had three lessons in the morning, three lessons in the afternoon, and three sessions of questions and answers at night. We were exhausted at the end, but everybody said how great this was for them to all be able to get together, encourage one another, and learn all of these things that they had never studied before or thought about before. It's a very encouraging study with the preachers there in the north. Then the next day, we had to go back to Lima, take an early flight to Iquitos, to the jungle, got our luggage put in the hotel, went straight to Namerlo's boat, and headed across the Amazon River to meet with the church in Caracocha. And so this is us traveling now up one of the little tributaries that will take us close to Caracocha. This is Namerlo's boat. And we parked that, got out, and then we had about a 5-kilometer walk to the actual jungle village of Caracocha. We're taking a trunk full of materials, hymnals, Bibles, things that they can use there in Caracocha. This is the village, the town, if you will, have of Caracocha. You'll notice that all of the buildings are up on stilts because about every other year, the Amazon will actually cover that whole section. It's an island, and the Amazon will cover that. So for part of the year, they get around in boats if the Amazon is flooding. And so we were making our way through Caracocha and then finally arrived at the building that they've been able to construct, thanks to some of your help with that. Met with them from about 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. In the afternoon, Carlos and Luis and I all had a lesson that we presented to the brethren there in Caracocha. There's Luis giving his lesson during the day. Then after the three lessons, we ate a quick bite with the brethren there that just live right across from the church building. This is their home. You notice there are no walls. It doesn't get cold there in the jungle. It just gets rainy, so really you just need a roof to keep the rain off when it rains. And then the next day, Namerlo said he had rented a bus for the entire day. So this is the bus that we were able to take to go to two other places. They're called Kilometro 32 y Kilometro 75. So Kilometer 32 and Kilometer 75 are the names of these places. And that's really their names. So we went to these two areas to study with some brethren there. We had brethren that joined us from Caracocha, from across the river, that morning to go with us. And traveled together, sang songs together as we were traveling. The driver, I was sitting right behind him. He kept opening up the lid to the engine and pouring water. But he assured me, if I do this every 15 minutes, we're not going to have problems. I said, great. And he also assured me as we were stopping to get the spare tire, this is just in case we have problems. But we made it there and back fine. Got to kilometer 75. We had made arrangements to conduct some studies in really one of the only large covered areas, which is one of the schools there. And so they had all the students come out. The students had never met anyone from Texas. So they had some questions about Texas and what Texas, where is Texas? They didn't even know where Texas was. And what's Texas like? So got to visit with the students a little bit. And one of the brothers then taught the kids some Bible songs. But the main reason we were there was to meet with and study with the adults there in the community. So they all came to the school and we were able to conduct some studies with them there in the school that afternoon. And then we went back to kilometer 32, and this is where one of the brethren live, and he wanted us to study with his neighbors. So he'd invite his neighbors over to his home, and we were able to conduct some studies with his neighbors. That's Carlos teaching there, and this is some of the neighbors that were listening to that. Then after we had picked up Namerlo, that was one of the reasons to go to Iquitos, to get Namerlo so he could go back with us for the preacher sessions in Lima. So we did this in the north. Now we went back to Lima to do the same thing in Puente Piedra, which is one of the districts in Lima. So this is Puente Piedra. The tall building is our hotel. This is the entrance to the hotel. That's the only thing that tells you that is a hotel. You go up two flights of stairs. You go through a locked cage. I mean, the hotel's very proud of their security and safety there. So you go through that, and then this is where you interact with a hand. That's all I ever saw. There's just this hand that comes out and gives you your key, and then when you put your money down to pay, the hand comes out and takes your money. I tried to look under, and they didn't like that. So this is the hotel. They had clean sheets. They had hot water. I was happy with the hotel. But then we conducted, again, 3 days of study there in Lima with the men. Carlos taught his material again. Luis taught his material that he had presented. And then I presented my material on fellowship. And we were able to meet with 16 men there in the Lima area. So this is the group that met there in Lima. Again, time very well spent. And you know, I've had members from other churches ask me, you know, what are you doing to have the kind of success that you've been having in South America? And I try to explain to them, you know, we're simply planting and watering the seed of God's word, and God's giving the increase. And you know, I'm concerned with the way that many churches are trying to present what they believe is the gospel in our culture, where the message is, you know, if you follow Jesus, then you can have this. And I've had people tell me, you know, we're offering medical care on our missions, English lessons, free food, daycare, job training, and we're just not growing. And I try to tell them as tactfully as I can that we don't use gimmicks to try to draw people in. We're simply offering the message of the gospel. And that message is, if you will follow Jesus, then you can have Jesus. And he is enough. And that's the message. And that's what the Word of God offers. It offers a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we're taking to people in South America. And good hearts are responding to that message. And God is giving the increase. And again, brethren, you have been a major part of what God is doing in South America. And I want to thank you for that. And tonight, you know what our invitation is? If you follow Jesus, then you can have Jesus. You can have the forgiveness of sins that he offers through his blood. That is a message that needs to be proclaimed throughout the world. And what Jesus say? Well, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So this evening, if you're not yet a Christian, we want to extend to you the invitation of Jesus. We can help you put on your Lord in baptism. You can be resurrected a new creature in Christ. You can be a part of the family of God. And if you need any other thing that we can help you with, won't you let us know as we stand and as we sing.
wonderful presentation. I just have to say that before we go any further. I think we're all glad we're here tonight. I think we're happy about what we've heard. I think about all the good things that have been accomplished because of your good work through this wonderful servant of Christ. Thank you, Kevin. 153.
To set the feet.